Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But we're going to talk about the moment. This is our moment of wisdom. You know, it is the 27th of the month. And I just love this journey of wisdom. You know, I love, I mean, it just really, it's encouraging, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, you know, having, you know, God's wisdom to be able, it just helps you make decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everything. I mean, you go, okay, I know what to do there, you know.
All right.
And, or not do.
Or not, or not to do, you know. And if you're always confused and you don't know what to do and you do know Jesus, you know, you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you first to be discipled. You know, go to get with your pastor, get with a VFN church somewhere if you don't have a pastor, and tell them you want to be discipled, you want to be a part of a family and learn the teachings of Jesus and follow them, you know. And in addition to that, then begin to soak in God's wisdom, you know, and God has wisdom for everything. And Proverbs, you know, 27, we're talking about, it's the 27th of the month, so we're going to be talking about Proverbs 27. But first I want to say this, you know, that have you ever had like a dripping faucet? You ever had a dripping faucet that's just kind of like, you ever done that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you probably, because you hear a lot. You're here.
Oh, yeah, I hear that stuff.
You hear that. What is it? What's it like when you hear it?
It's very irritating.
Well, why is it irritating?
Because you just, that's all you focus on. That's all you can hear.
It takes away. Isn't that amazing?
You lose total focus.
Isn't that amazing, John? Like you were telling me how you just can't stand a dripping faucet. Remember that?
Yeah.
But you think about it. Even though you had all these things, you were thinking about something, you were singing a song, you were maybe watching a program, or you were listening to VFN radio, or maybe you were, at work or something like that. But all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, you had this drip, drip, drip.
Mm.
You know, at first it's like no big deal. But, you know, like a minute later, it's like drip, right?
That's right.
Right? And it's like, okay, I can handle this. Not a big deal. Then 1 hour later, drip.
All right.
Drip. You know, it's like, okay, this has got to stop. So then you try to get your hands on to fix it, but you can't fix it because, you know, it needs to be totally replaced. The faucet has to be replaced. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, and so it takes over your focus. You can't even focus. Now, even though everything's still happening like it was, it's like this constant drip of like a rain just dripping, drip, drip. I remember when I was talking to Howard Nagwari. You know, he's in Africa, and he's in Malawi, and he has a tin roof. You know, he has an actual tin roof on his house. And when that happened, he was talking to me, it started dripping, started raining.
Oh, wow.
Man, as soon as that rain hit that tin roof, I finally said, Howard, we're going to have to schedule this at another time, man. I'll give a shout out to Howard this morning in Malawi. And it's just, it took over our conversation, you know? And so it's just, you can say what you want to. I really believe there's some sort of, they talk about waterboarding. Mm-hmm. You know, waterboarding is where you put somebody's, you lay them on a board. And you throw a towel over their face, and then you take their feet and make the board where they're part of the board where their feet is on higher than their head, so their head is down low. And then they take, I only know this because I watch the news. And then it sounds like, oh, how do you know this? You know, hey, I've been in ministry a long time, and you know, I'm saying, I got waterboarded. That was waterboarding.
Yeah.
I think, right? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Was that a meeting or was I just waterboarded? Anyway, so, and so. You know, then they pour the water over their faces to make them think that they're drowning or something. Mm-hmm. Well, there's also another one that they do, and I don't know which country does this. I don't want to name a country, but it starts with a C. And they take water and they have it just drip on the forehead of the person, just drip, drip. That would really be we would not know Pat. Pat would just be gone. He'd be chasing flies. You know what I'm saying?
He's gone.
I have this drip on my head. Anyway, and so I mean, it's just totally distracting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's totally distracting. Or think about this. I mean, have you ever tried? I mean, you know, You've been selling, you know, when you're selling, you put yourselves up and that type of thing. But you remember trying to hold up, you ever held something flat up against the wind and it's like almost makes a cell out of a, like a tarp or something?
Yeah.
And you're trying
sign
to
sign or something.
Yeah. And it just takes, and it literally turns you into a sailboat, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes you away. I remember I was camping once and this wind was real big. So I put up this tarp to be kind of, you know, control the wind that it would direct it away from our camp. And it was just, first of all, it was like blam, 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 blam. It was slapping all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
And it started ripping up the stakes and the things that were holding it. And it was just like a tattered and torn tarp,
wow.
You know, because I was trying to restrain the wind. Mm-hmm. You think about it.
All right.
You can't, I mean, the wind pushes, you know, hundreds of tons of steel or at least right. wood through the water because you put up a sail, you know,
right.
a flat surface. And though that sail is trying to restrain the wind, it's really the wind that pushes and restrains the boat. I mean,
wow.
the wind takes it because you can't restrain the wind.
Mm-mm.
You can't restrain it. You just have to adjust. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about the time I got attacked at the beach by no-see-ums. Remember those?
No-see-um. What's a no-see-um?
What's a no-see-um, Pat? Help us out.
Can you Google that, John? I think he's trying to, you know, make us not look smart or something.
Is
I don't know
what he's trying to do?
I'm going to Google it. I'm going to find out what he's talking about. No-see-um. I think it's one of those Nephilim things. I'm pretty sure. It's a Nephilim.
Remember?
Yeah.
Those are the things you get attacked with. You put all that skin so soft all over your face.
Sand fleas. Okay.
I guess that's what
they're called. It's sand fleas, John. Okay.
Oh, they're so small you can't see them.
Are they?
And you're like swatting.
You can feel them.
And you just, they're all over you.
You can feel them.
Yeah, but you can't see them.
No, you can't. You can feel them swim, too.
Yeah. I'd rather be shot than be attacked by that.
Yeah.
Those are terrible.
Yeah, and it's sort of like it's just kind of ticking away, and it's just this constant, you know, this constant drip, this constant situation where you can't control it. Or think about this. Yeah, down in the farm days, you know, that they would have, you know, annual parties or whatever you call them, shindigs, you know, and they come together and they would do, you know, some different things like roping cows and different stuff like that. But they also would grease a hog up. They would grease a pig up and then they would send the kids into the arena or to the corral with the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids were all greased up and the pigs were all greased up. And the thing was, is can you catch the greased pig? And it didn't matter. I mean, even the strong kids and all, they would hold the pig. But then the pig, because everybody was all greasy, it would just squirt the pig out. Sort of like eggs and bacon for breakfast. And so, yeah, it is. And so, I mean, it's just real difficult because it's just like, you know, it's trying to grab this pig with your hands. But it doesn't matter how strong you are because between you and the pig is oil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never get your hands on the pig. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You think this constant drip, you think about this unrestrained wind and something you just can't get your hands on. I'm talking about the moment of wisdom today. This is so important. I'm saying this for several reasons. One is the moment of wisdom. And secondly, that we need our families to stay together. We need marriage to stay together. But understand this, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to divide your marriage. He wants to divide your relationship. And 50% of the marriages in the church for those who are getting married today are ending in divorce. And it's very important that we have to find out what wisdom says about how to have a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so this Solomon's saying in Proverbs 27, chapter 27, 15 through 16, he says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with your hand. I mean, think about it.
Mm.
A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. And let me tell you right now, if you have a quarrelsome wife, you're probably turning down the radio because you're scared it's going to be an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, that's the devil. Realize that the Lord loves your wife. And it's the enemy doing that. And you can actually, you know, I can talk about this and get through this. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind. Just like that. Just trying to try. We try to restrain the wind, right? Or grasping oil with your hands. You just can't get a hold of it because you can't put your hands on it. But it's just drip, mm-hmm. drip, right. drip. And what this is it's just a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a mindset. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of pride, and it's a spirit of strife.
Yeah.
And you believe me or not, if you choose to let this thing go, and you choose to humble yourself, and that's the only way you can do this, you won't have to live in this constant state of an argument.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you can't expect somebody else to help you out if they can't get their hands on you, if they can't restrain you, and you constantly are dripping with a complaint and a criticism. Then, you know, it says in Proverbs that a woman builds her house up, but she tears it down with her own hands.
Yeah.
That, you know, women are given a wonderful gift to be able to love the family and do the things, the gifts that they do, like a father does for the family and the gifts that he does. But the very same hands that build can tear down. The very same mouth that can encourage can tear down. Sure. And we can't just say anything. You can't mm-hmm. just say anything. It's not okay just to offload. Oh, I just want to get it out. It's like, yeah, it's like taking a gun and shooting your family all over the place. You can't do that because the words we speak are spirit.
Yeah. Proverbs says that reckless words pierce like a sword.
Right. And your kids, they need to hear encouraging things. They need, you have to deal with your kids. Things happen. Yeah. But you need, when they come to you with a report card, for example, that has an A, a B, A and a B, and an A and a B, and an F. I mean, they need to be thinking that they're going to talk to me about the F, but they're going to encourage me because I made A's.
That's right.
They don't need to be thinking about all they're going to focus on is the F. And if they're thinking that way, then they're thinking that their parents are critical and judgmental, and it's going to be an argument going on. You know, you have to be able to deal with the realities. At the same time, you have to be able to understand that what you say is important, because so many grown men and women are trying to live off what was spoken over them as children.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't shake them father words or the lack of them father words. And when they hear a father speak to them, it freaks them out because they never heard that before. What do you do with that? And so he says, you know, the word says a quarrelsome wife. It's like someone's always, everything's an argument. Everything is an argument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about everything. I mean, there's people out there saying, you know, I want to be married. I love God. You know, my wife and my husband, we both love God. You know, and we're serving God, but, you know, dude, we're arguing all the time.
Right.
Everything's an argument. We go into our gathering where we go to church and we sing and we praise and we're nice and we put on that face, but when we get back in the car, we're arguing.
Mm.
The same lips that just prophesied now are criticizing the very father of the kids that are in there, that critical thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a spirit. We're not what we're being attacked with. Remember that. No more as a man who steps on a landmine, are we what we're being attacked with? It's important because if you identify yourself by what the devil has done to you, then it's hard to get free from it, because when somebody talks about the issue, you think they're talking about you.
Right, because you've owned it. You identified yourself and attached with it.
Right.
So that is me. It's like, that's not you. That's what it's being attacked with.
Right.
You know, you can let it go.
Yeah.
And you can deal with it, but don't own it.
Right. And so I want to encourage you that is, and by the way, if this is what you're struggling with yourself, you know, that I'm pretty sure you're just as miserable with it as anybody else's, but you can't figure out, why do I always argue? Why am I always critical over the situation? You know, and it's tied to criticism, tied to a judgmental thing. So, you know, break all judgments. If felt like you've been judging people, and if you're a lady, and you look at another lady and you go, look at her dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is she doing? You know, in that religious type spirit, maybe you're saying, like, you know, that, you know, they need to dress different. Well, like, you know, all that just judgments,
right,
and criticism. Well, that's going to come back on you. Romans chapter 2 tells us it's going to come back on you. And whatever point you judge others, you'll be, and that's what's happening quite often, is that we're just getting backwash from our own judgment. So you can break those things. Say, Lord, forgive me for judging those people, you know, and criticizing them. And once you ask him, he'll forgive you, but then break them. And then the opposite of that, begin to bless the people that you judged and you criticized. But your husband, ma'am, your children, ma'am, they need the criticism gone. They need the arguing gone, because this is what the word of God says. arguments only destroy those who hear them. If you really love your family, if you really love God, if you really love your children, if you really want to be married, you know, you got to say, God, help me with this. I want this out of my life. It's an ungodly thing to be able to continue to do that. Even it's really confusing. It's confusing to why you profess Jesus, you argue against his ways.
Right.
In front of the very ones that you tell that you need to follow God. Mm-hmm. And so you have this bipolar looking weird thing like that cartoon. Remember the cartoon that we show? We got to show that cartoon sometimes.
Which
you
one?
Know, the one about, you know, the sheep shepherd was out there with the coyote.
Yes.
We got to show that. That's be good. But understand, but you know, we are not what we're being attacked with. But if that's happening, that's literally like a dripping rainy day that doesn't stop. It's like drip, drip,
right.
Drip. And everybody around you, including your family, they're just suffering through that. They're suffering through that. And if they try to deal with it, it's like restraining the wind.
Sure.
And if they try to get their hands on it, it just slips right out. It can never get their hands on it. Why? Because you have to make the decision to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Because he says in Proverbs 13:10, pride only breeds quarrels. Mm. Pride only breeds arguments. And so the only way we can deal with pride is to humble ourselves.
Right.
Just humble ourselves. You know, and if that alone is just be aware that others are aware, you know.
Right.
You know, and God's aware, and at some point it should be embarrassing, you know, once you realize, like, oh, I get it now. Oh, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear.
Sure.
And then get free, and you'll find out that you'll have intimacy in your relationships. You'll have children who want to honor God. You'll have, you know, you'll like the people now that you judged or criticized. You'll find out, you know, now that I don't have any judgments on you, I can like you.
Right.
You know, you're likable. Right. You're a very likable person. Now I'm not criticizing you. Isn't that amazing? That's totally amazing how that works. And our criticisms, judgments, divide us from the very ones we're criticizing and judging. And remember this, Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. Who are we to be able to do something like that?
That's right.
And so today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs 27, verse 15 through 16. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with your hands. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.